This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, got one interesting announcement to make here. I've been telling everybody that we're planning on new online stores here for the Paracast, with a new site coming eventually, and the TechNightOwl.com. So TechNightOwl.com, we just launched the store. If you go to TechNightOwl.store, you'll get there, and you'll see some of the new offerings. We have this wireless set of earbuds, and there'll be up to 250 different pieces of merchandise once the thing is completely ready, thanks to Anders. And we'll talk about the Paracast store, the new official Paracast store, next. Now, of course, last week we had a wonderful, wonderful time with that earth spirit, Linda Godfrey. She had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun talking with her. And we thought, okay, we have this woman from the Midwest talking about monsters. Now we've got this guy from the Midwest who's also writing about monsters, and we haven't had him on the show in 9 years. Jason Offit, 9 years since we had you on the show. Why did it take so long?
I don't know. I didn't realize it had been that long, but I guess it has. I'm not sure. Thanks for having me back on. I appreciate it.
We were looking into the archives and thinking, you know, there's a lot of guests we had in the early days that we never brought back on the show, not because they weren't good, because you were on the show twice in 2009 and 2010. And you did a show then, an episode, you had a book about monsters in your backyard or something.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, just for people who haven't heard you and haven't listened to the show from 9 years ago, and it is online from our site, what got you into the monster game?
When I was a kid, I was, you know, I loved monster movies. We had the local independent TV station on Saturdays. It would be monster movies all day. And when I should have been outside playing, I was glued to the monster movies. And then, I believe it was 73, might have been 71, I was always a newspaper nerd. And I started seeing these stories in the Kansas City Star of a monster called Momo. And I was absolutely fascinated because Momo was in my home state. It was a Bigfoot story in my home state. And I followed those stories for a couple of weeks, because that's all, you know, the longer they were in the paper. But I was really excited. I even would pack a backpack with some sandwiches and, you know, some you know, gadgets, and go out into the cornfield that surrounded my house looking for Bigfoot footprints. I didn't find any.
Now, Momo is Missouri Monster, right? Right. Missouri Monster. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And, yeah, it was seen over a couple-of-week period in the early 70s by Louisiana, Missouri, which is kind of between St. Louis and Hannibal.
I mean, that's cool. Here, so you got into monsters, and I guess you went out in the working world. What is your day job?
I am I teach journalism at a university. I was a print journalist for 17 years, and I teach it now.
So do you, in the course of your instruction to your students, do you teach them how to write stuff about the paranormal at all?
Actually, I don't really bring it up unless they do, and they do bring it up quite a bit. But every once in a while, I will offer a class that I call paranormal journalism. And that class is designed, well, because I hate what the media does. If there's a story on Bigfoot, they always quote Harry and the Hendersons. If there's a story about a ghost sighting, they always quote Ghostbusters. And if it's a TV news story on a UFO sighting, they play the X-Files theme, which completely discredits everything that any witness has to say. So I teach the students about you know, different aspects of the paranormal and how to report on it with a straight face. And the kids really take to it.
So it's low-hanging fruit they're reaching for there. But we know what they do. How do you think the media should approach the paranormal? It looks like the New York Times is doing it because we have those articles from Leslie Kane that are sensibly treated. And believe it or not, it doesn't matter what your political viewpoints are. Tucker Carlson from Fox News is very, very seriously interested. He's had Nick Pope on there more than once, Leslie Kane. And he doesn't get into these rather acid comments. He's straight and serious. And you don't do that if you're not seriously interested in the subject. I think if you took him privately, he'd say, yeah. Despite all the political implications of the things he does, he's seriously interested. So there are exceptions in the media now. But what should the media in general be doing to cover this stuff more accurately?
Well, I agree with, I mean, journalists who are truly interested will cover it straight, as they should. But what journalists should do is treat all of this seriously, because there's a good section of their audience. I mean, there are polls that come out all the time that show, you know, 75% of Americans believe that, you know, there is intelligent extraterrestrial life out there somewhere. And there's like a good 38% that believe in Bigfoot, and, you know, a bigger percentage than that believe ghosts exist. And, you know, a fairly decent percentage who said that they've experienced something like that. So there is an interest, and not just an interest in the public. There's a need for serious journalism on these topics. I'm not necessarily wanting to know what's going on at Area 51, and S4. But you know what? It'd be because I don't think we're ever going to find out. But you know, what about research into Bigfoot? Why not take people like Dr. Jeff Meldrum seriously when he's looking into Bigfoot? This guy is a serious academic, and they ignored it because they're afraid of ridicule, and, you know, they should be braver than that. And yes, the New York Times has been handling things. I was rather shocked a year ago last December 2017, when they came out with their UFO stories. I was pretty proud of them.
Yeah, what do you think of all of that? That's considering the way it's been handled. We had it start off pretty seriously, but then the whole To the Stars Academy thing kind of turned it into a money-making venture, you know, on spec for an entertainment company.
I was having a good time, and you bring that up. It's not the topic that's the problem. It's a lot of times the people involved, the people who are the loudest. I was really, you know, interested when Tom DeLong, you know, started talking about UFOs and was really wanting to get to the bottom of that. I'm like, okay, this guy's got a name. He can get some attention, and then things went south. So yeah, whenever people involved in the topics start, you know, showing that they're really not that serious about it, or downright hoaxers, like the Bigfoot in the freezer a number of years ago, it really gives a bad name to everything paranormal. And yeah, it's not, you know, to me, necessarily just the journalists that are doing a bad job. It's the people involved in the paranormal that are doing a bad job as well.
There's some people here who have the mistaken belief that you can actually make a lot of money from the paranormal. They do not understand how the book business works. They do not understand that it's only very few people who can make a full-time job out of this if that's what you want to do. I mean, there's nothing that isn't honorable about work. We should honor work, of course. But if you work to perpetrate a fraud, that's different. What's also different, neighbors, is the PowerCast Plus. For more information, please check out plus.thepowercast.com. That's plus.thepowercast.com. We offer the ad-free version of this show, plus the After the PowerCast podcast, plus.thepowercast.com. Jason Offit is with us. and we're going to talk about his work and his newest books. With Gene and Randall, you're in
The Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361. Or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, understand, Jason, that when Randall does the stinger, the Paracast, he's talking from beyond, one step beyond.
Okay, yeah, I heard the echo. I figured he was one step beyond.
It's a dollar and a quarter, I think, the echo effect. It's the special one from the dollar store. Anyway, seriously.
Really only three quarters of a step beyond, actually. never gets quite all the way.
Getting back into this here, and I want to ask you about these things. Why did you start writing books on this subject? Because, well, as I said, it's a pretty difficult field to really do anything profitable in.
Right. Well, and it is. And, I mean, two of the names that I can think of that have, you know, made enough money to live on just by the paranormal are Stanton Friedman and Nick Redfern. And Stanton speaks all the time. And Nick is the busiest man, I think, in the country. He is always working. But, yeah, anybody, you know, most people aren't in this for the money. I am, by trade, a journalist, which means I'm a storyteller. I like to tell people stories, and I like to investigate things and, you know, and unravel it for people. When I was a journalist, I really didn't have time to do that, because journalists, newspaper, especially for decades, have been absolutely overworked because they keep cutting the staffs. You know, we're too busy, you know, worrying about, you know, what's going on at the city council meeting. And, you know, there's a, you know, 12 car wreck out on Interstate 70 to cover. You know, we were so busy with those things, weren't able to really, you know, do anything paranormal that, you know, unless it was Halloween and you know, the topic came up. But when I started teaching, all of a sudden I had summers off. All of these questions that all my life I wanted answers to, I realized I have time right now to cover it. So that's when I started writing books about, on the paranormal. Was about 14 years ago.
And you found that it wasn't hard to find stories in your own backyard. Being from Missouri, you've got the book Haunted Missouri and What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. These are really interesting titles. What kind of paranormal stuff do we find in our backyard if we were to go out there?
Well, at the time that I wrote that book, What Lurks Beyond, I was writing a weekly newspaper column on the paranormal for the Examiner newspaper in Independence, Missouri. And it started, you know, just dawned on me, wait a second, I'm getting a lot of these stories from around this area. There are a lot of them, so I just started to collect them, and then I just started digging in and doing some really serious research about what's around where I live. I put a pin and a map with a string attached to the pin. I'd tied a pencil on it, and I drew a circle around, you know, of a 100-mile radius. And I just started looking for all of the paranormal things that I could find within that circle. And I found a couple of famous UFO stories from the late 60s, early 70s. Plenty of ghost stories that I didn't include because that could have got repetitive. But demon possession, dog man, time travel. There's a guy in a small town tried to build a time machine. Right outside my area, the 100 miles, just about 20 miles outside of my search area, I found a mind-reading dog. I included him anyway, you know, telling my readers that this is outside my search parameters, but come on, it's a mind-reading dog. I got to tell you guys about it.
Yeah, well, tell us about it. How do you know a dog is reading your mind?
Well, this was in Marshall, Missouri, which is not quite in the center of the state, but it's close. It's close. Back in the 30s, a man named Sam Van Arsdale, he owned a hotel, and I think it was funny because it was called the Ruff, R-U-F-F Hotel, and he had a mind-reading dog. So anyway, he was an avid bird hunter, and a friend of his, to play a joke on him, gave him the runt of the litter of these English Llewellyn setters. And there was a joke on this guy's friend because the dog grew up to be a wonderful hunting dog. It was featured in a number of magazines. It just seemed to know where the birds were, and was able to, you know, able to spook them out of the brush. And eventually, something happened. Van Arsdale asked a question out loud. Because he owned a hotel, he said, "There's a man from Kansas City here, and I don't remember, where is he?" And the dog went to a man. And Van Arsdale went and talked to him, and that guy was from Kansas City. That was the guy that Van Arsdale was looking for. So he started doing experiments on the dog. And what he found out was the dog would do what he told him. What he told him wasn't just fetch. It was, you know, if there was a group, in fact, I interviewed one of the girls that I'm about ready to tell you. If there was a group of girls standing in a circle, he did this a couple of times, go find the girl in the red dress. And the dog would go find the girl in the red dress. And if there were more than one girl in a red dress, he'd say, find the girl with the red dress and the polka dots. And he'd go find a girl with the red dress and polka dots. And one time he said, go find the girl with money in her purse. And the only girl that had money he went up to. And
this, okay.
Right. Yeah. And
now I'm starting to see what
Right. Well, and this one of the little girls I interviewed her, I mean, she was quite elderly at the time. But she was convinced that this dog could read minds. And what Van Arsdale started doing was having Jim predict, presidential elections, Kentucky Derby winners. Young couples would come in, and if the wife would be pregnant, and Jim would tell them whether it was a boy or a girl, and he had a perfect track record. People started coming from all over just to watch Jim the Wonder Dog perform. And people would speak to him in German and Spanish, and he would do what they commanded. They would write commands on paper, even in shorthand and in foreign languages. Well, why would it matter if it was shorthand or foreign language? I mean, I wouldn't expect a dog to read English either. But Jim would always do what the note said. Hollywood came, they got wind of this, started reading articles, and producer came and offered Van Arsdale a lot of money to buy Jim. Because, I mean, if you had a dog that could read the script, it'd, save money to train it. But he turned him down because all he wanted to have is a hunting dog. When Jim passed away, he was buried right outside the cemetery, the human cemetery in town. And he's still there, and people will come and visit his grave from all over and drop coins on his grave.
At least he hasn't emerged from the grave. I want to ask you more about that, about the dog that can read your mind or at least anticipate or understand the things you're saying. And I think all dogs have certainly different types of sensitivities here. Jason Offutt is joining us. This is the third time, three times a charm on the Paracast with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump has agreed to a 3-week extension of funding to end the partial government shutdown without getting money for the wall. After insisting for weeks the shutdown would continue until Democrats gave in to his demand for border wall money.
I will sign a bill to open our government for 3 weeks.
Giving bipartisan lawmakers 3 weeks to discuss border security spending. The bill ending the shutdown doesn't have any wall money, and Democrats say the president has finally agreed with them about opening the government first before the discussions.
Hopefully now the president has learned his lesson.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's hopeful for a deal in the next 3 weeks. The president said if the New Deal doesn't have money for the wall, he'll declare a national emergency to build it. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, it's Greg Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we were talking about the dog that could read minds. Now, I think any dog can anticipate to some degree what's going on. The dog knows when you are going to be home. If they're used to you, they know you're going to be home. They'll anticipate it and might just be their internal clock, understanding the regularity that is going on. But it seems the dogs will sense, for example, a coming earthquake. So every dog has an instinct that they understand what's going on. I see that in our own dog here, Teddy Bear, where he reacts a certain way knowing I'm going to be back. Whereas other people, he's going to bark up a storm. But he knows if I'm around the corner, he knows it's me, and therefore he's quiet. And his hearing can't be that sensitive. So saying that dogs have some sort of extrasensory perception or advanced perception doesn't surprise me in the least. But this dog seems to have had it in spades.
Well, aren't they doing experiments with dogs predicting earthquakes out in California? Something like that? I'm pretty sure I've heard about something along those lines going along with them. Like animals have a sense about things that seems to go beyond what the human range is at any rate.
Right. When typhoons hit, it seems that animals know that it's going to happen and vacate the areas around the shoreline. Dogs have also, there have also been some dogs that are able to show that somebody's got cancer, and be able to sniff out where it is. So there's a lot of things about dogs that we don't know, and science doesn't know how to, doesn't know how they can do it. Yeah, the predicting when you're going to be home is absolutely fascinating. Another thing that fascinates me with dogs and with cats, because there's stories about this, are ones that get separated from their families over hundreds and hundreds of miles. And it might take a cat or a dog 5 years to, to cross the country, but they'll find their owners. How does that happen?
Yeah, I've heard of more than one case about that, actually. Well, it's true. Who knows exactly? You would think that they would lose the trail after so many hundreds of miles.
Well, you would have to, but is it a trail? I mean, it can't be a trail. They can't be smelling something over 5 years, especially since, you know, the people weren't walking. They were driving. You know, it's got to be something else.
Well, but then again, you know, you can imagine, look at what geese can do. They can go fly for thousands of miles right to their exact nesting spots because they know somehow. And so, you know how dogs like to hang their nose out the window and stuff like that? Their nose is so sensitive. It's like they can practically see just with smell. So maybe for them, when they're traveling along, they're just following their nose and remembering a sequence of smells that got them to the right place. You know, maybe that worked.
That's a maybe. I think I read about this recently about eels, whether they're in Europe or North America, wherever these eels are, they go to one spot in the Pacific or in the Atlantic Ocean around the Caribbean to mate, and then they swim home. Wow. I don't understand how that happens. Blows my mind.
There's been a couple of good movies out about dogs. So like there's one, I think it's called Hachi or something like that, A Dog's Tale. And it is based on a true story. It happens with Richard Gere and how this dog had this sense of when he was going to be there and not be there. And it's quite a touching story if you're an animal or pet lover.
Right. I haven't seen the movie, but animals can do so many things that we don't have a clue. To turn this back to the paranormal, we had a cat in this house that we lived in. My wife and I, when we first got married, that didn't like the kitchen. It would go around the kitchen every time it wanted to get into the back room. It would go back through the bedrooms, but it would sit outside the kitchen, just outside, and stare at one spot in the kitchen. No place else, just one spot. So I always thought that maybe there was something in there it didn't like that it could see that we couldn't.
Well, if we want to segue back into the paranormal, we also tend to have, like, our own pets, our own dogs. They tend to act weird when there's these strange creatures around as well, according to some of the stories I've heard. Are you finding that in the research you've done as well?
Generally, when it comes to ghosts, pets, dogs, and cats will react to them. Dogs seem to react whenever there's a Bigfoot close by. I mean, that's about it. When I wrote a book on shadow people back in 2009 called Darkness Walks, and I didn't have any reports of pets going crazy when the shadow people were around.
That's interesting, and I noticed that on your website here, which is fairly well laid out and has all your books on it. You've got quite a few going here, and it kind of does remind me, in a sense, you know, in the spirit of the Redfern and so on, a lot of this stuff. So can you tell us a bit more about some of these shadow people, like shadow people among us? Is there, kind of suggests that they're like right there all the time, but we don't see them or something.
Well, in some cases that was it. I was about 8 or 9 years old. The house I grew up in was, it had been a two-room schoolhouse. It had been converted into a three-bedroom home, and it was 6 miles out in the country. And at one point, when I was about 8 or 9, I went to bed, and there was – well, since we were out in the country, I could leave my window shades up all the time because, you know, there was nobody to look in. And if the moon was out, my room was a uniform shade of gray. I could see – you know, the end of my bed, my bookshelf, the Farrah Fawcett poster, the one with the maroon suit. It'll tell you how old I am. But one night when it was about that gray, I just laid down to go to bed and something moved in the corner of my room and it was black, blacker than everything else in the room. And all of a sudden it stepped out of the wall and walked past me. And it was a man. It looked like a two-dimensional human figure. I couldn't see any detail about it whatsoever, and I just walked out into the hallway. And then I yelled for my dad, who dropped some colorful language because he was already in bed. Turned on the light, and there was nothing there, of course. But this happened on and off for a couple of months, and I was fairly you know, logically minded, even as a kid. And I tried to figure out what it was, if, you know, it was an illusion because of clouds passing in front of the moon, or maybe a car went by the house and the headlights bounced off of something. But I looked and there were never any of those things, and I couldn't explain it.
So this wasn't happening when you were just waking up or falling asleep? You'd be lying in bed wide awake, say, before you'd fallen asleep?
Before I'd fallen asleep. Yep. Wow. It was right when I laid down and turned the light off. Boom, it happened.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's that got me extremely interested. And in my head, I started calling them shadow people. I'd never heard of them before, but that's what they look like. And later, Art Bell started talking about shadow people, and he had a lot of people call in, and I'm like, in my head, that's what I saw.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and
I,
you and a lot of other people as well. So did you find quite a few other stories, I guess, that go in your book? So can you tell us maybe a couple of the good ones out of that book here? A couple of the most amazing?
Okay. Yes. And I interviewed about 250 people for the book. And, yeah, there were some, really interesting ones. I mean, most of them were fairly common. And they were like mine. It was just a human shaped shadow that walked by my bed, didn't take notice of me at all. And that was a lot of them. And I called those things benign shadows, since they never messed with me. But there were other ones. I talked with a guy that when he was 18, he was home from school, and it was in the middle of the day, and he was watching TV, and something dark was in the corner of his eye. And he turned his head, and standing in the doorway that separated the living room from the kitchen, there was, he said it looked like a refrigerator magnet.
Before we look into refrigerators and magnets, Jason, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
A refrigerator magnet. How big a refrigerator magnet, Jason?
About 6.5 feet tall. You know, it was black like the back of a refrigerator magnet, and it looked two-dimensional. And the entity seemed shocked when he saw it, when he saw that the person he was observing saw it. It turned and bolted into the kitchen, and he heard a crash. So he got up out of his chair and ran into the kitchen, and just in time to see the thing run across the back deck. And the house was new. They hadn't put steps on the back deck yet, and it was like a 20-foot drop. And the thing just ran off it and disappeared. But what the crash was is there was a double pane sliding glass door, and the creature ran through it. And one of the panes was still intact, and the outer pane was still intact, and the inner pane was shattered. What? So whatever this entity was, it had physical mass to shatter that pane of glass, but then it passed right through the next one. Which was absolutely amazing.
Or maybe it hit the glass and opened the door and went through it and closed it again really quickly.
Well, there really wasn't enough time between it turning around and running and the guy getting up and following it into the kitchen. And that's another type of entity that I found was fairly common is people, when they notice a shadow person staring at them, the shadow person seems surprised that they can be seen, and they generally take off running. One of the other types of shadow people, they seem to be omens. And there's a woman I talked to who noticed a shadow person outside her window. She looked outside the window of the second floor of her house, and across the street by a lamp pole in the middle of the day, there was a shadow person standing next to the lamp pole. And it startled her, but it didn't really scare her because she sensed that it was staring at a house across the street. And she noticed it there for like 2 or 3 days. And then one day the first day she didn't notice it, there was an ambulance in the driveway, and the older elderly lady who lived across the street in that house had died, and she never saw that shadow person again. There are shadow people legends, stories. Yeah, I worked with a woman who was talking at a newspaper, and she was talking to me about shadow people because she was really into the paranormal, and she said she started seeing a dark human figure in the corner of her eye, which didn't really startle her because lots of people report that. But then she started seeing it farther and farther into her, you know, frame of vision, until one day she saw it head on. And that day that she saw it head on, her husband came home from a doctor's appointment and he had esophageal cancer and passed away only a few months later. And she was pretty convinced that shadow person was an omen.
Interesting. Well, what about you? The one that you saw, was there anything associated with it like that?
No, and everybody I interviewed who had experiences like mine, that a shadow person just walked through the room, walked past them on a busy street, because these things aren't just at night. These things happen in the day all the time. Anybody who had that kind of story, that the shadow person did not take notice of them, there was nothing. So one of the things that – and there are plenty of stories of shadows with red eyes and shadows with fedoras that people referred to as the hat man. They are similar in that they're blacker-than-night human-shaped shadows that are usually appear to be two-dimensional, but their behavior is so different. You know, the ones that seem like peeping Toms, the ones with red eyes seem to feed off of fear. The ones that I saw that didn't seem to take notice at all. And there are other ones that seem like residual ghosts. I really think shadow people are a number of different entities that just happen to appear the same.
What about female shadow people? Most of these, like, you know, it's more like shadow men or MIB men in black. Do you ever see any shadow women?
I may have gotten one report of a female shadow person, but in fact, I'm saying may because it sounds familiar, but I don't frankly remember 100%. But no, they're men.
Interesting. Like, I wonder why that would be.
Yeah. Who knows? There have been reports of shadow cats and shadow dogs, but female human-like shadows, no, none at all.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd think if maybe there was just a slight difference, you know, maybe 60-40 or something like that. But, you know, virtually every account I've ever heard of it seems to be like a male type figure. You know, it's got the pants and something along those lines. Nothing overtly feminine with like a long flowing dress or something like that. I mean, there's been women in black. We've heard of them. But not
all right. Matter of fact. People. Nick Redfern had a whole book on women in black encounters, but yeah, with shadow people, it's male.
Interesting. What do you think they are?
Well, it really depends on which type of entity. You know, like I said, there have been some instances that to me sounded like residual spirits, and maybe the shadow is all the energy they have to manifest themselves. The ones that I saw, well, maybe, I don't know, John Keel had talked about window areas where, you know, there are areas in this world that the veil is really thin between worlds, between dimensions, and sometimes things come through. Well, I mean, in my case where they didn't take notice of me, maybe that was a window area, a thin place, and I was actually seeing people from the other side, but all I could see of them was their shadow. And then they're the ones with the red eyes. I interviewed experts in Christianity, Islam, American Indian shamanism, and they all have shadow people entities in their belief system. In Christianity, they're demonic, they're demons. In Islam, they're the jinn. In American Indian shamanism, they're viewed as, you know, the doctors, medicine men that started using their powers and their knowledge for greed, and that turned them into something that was less than human. But they all appear the same. And they all tend to do the same thing, which is, you know, feed off of fear and negative energies like that.
Well, you know, that sounds pretty scary and serious. And you know, you are a professor at a university. You're inspiring people to take some of these experiences quite seriously. But at the same time, you don't always take yourself entirely too seriously. And I've written a couple of other books, fiction and a parody, How to Kill Monsters Using Common Household Items. This sounds like it could be a really fun read.
One day I was sitting around and I was like, okay, if a werewolf broke into my house right now, what is within arm's reach to defend myself?
Good question.
And yeah, the first thing my eyes fell on was the cat, which I labeled in the book as a werewolf distraction device. So first you throw the cat at the werewolf.
Okay.
Right. And then around the house, you've got to have, you know, various implements laid around. I mean, you could use, like, table legs, turn over the garbage in the kitchen, especially if you open the tuna can, because, you know, those lids can be extremely, cut up a foot. And, you know, leave, bottles of vodka and lighters around the house. If your kid's friend's mom, you know, comes over and sees, you know, 47 bottles of vodka sitting around the living room, they might be a little concerned about letting their kids, you know, come over and play. But, you know, I'd be more worried about my family's safety. You know, Molotov cocktails, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Just what we need is like a flaming Bigfoot running around the house.
Right.
That sounds like what if they're just there to hang out with you, though, man? Like, you know, maybe, you know, sit down and, I don't know, roll a reefer or something. And
well, you know, I never quite thought of that. And it's too late now. If a clown knocks on my door, it's you know, the book's out there. It knows what's coming.
Oh, clowns. Yeah, I think I'm more afraid of them than Bigfoot, actually. So, you know, what do you do with a clown?
Before we check into the clowns, the mystery of the clowns. That's not Clarabelle, by the way. It's not Clarabelle. That was the clown from the Howdy Doody show of the 1950s.
Yeah.
Right, Clarabelle. We'll have more into clowns. Gene, Randall, Jason, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.